Stand with me, please. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. Help me say it. For my people have committed. Come on, say it with me, y'all. Say, for my people have committed two evils. One more time. My people have committed two evils. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about two evils. You may be seated. For my people, say it again, my people have committed two evils. Jeremiah the prophet, I told you on last week, was not just any Hebrew Israelite, but he was the son of Hilkiah the priest, who was a part of that group that discovered the Bible, the word, the Tanakh, or may I say it like this, the Torah. He was part of it. His daddy is the one who presented the Torah to the king, and the king presented it to one of Yah's handmaidens who interpreted the law and told the king, king, we're in trouble because we have forsaken the words of Yah. So here the king, Josiah, Yoshiyahu, says, well, what can we do? And he studied the manuscript and decided, well, we can begin by getting rid of all idolatry. Isn't that good? By getting rid of everything that is not of Yah, get rid of it from the sanctuary. And rid Israel, woo, of the idols of the lands and the nations around them. And as always, we salute the 12 tribes of Israel. Some people believe they are a disappeared people. They come with all kind of names for y'all. Lost tribes. Impossible to discover. They're nowhere in the world. But I know you're here. I know you are, because the book of the Revelation said that our Heavenly Father Yah is going to choose 12,000 from every tribe. Now, if the tribes are missing, where are we getting all these preachers from? 12,000 from each tribe. That means it's got everybody not a preacher. So it's a whole lot of y'all out there, and this word goes out to you. Whether you are from the tribe of Yehuda or from the tribe of Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, amen, Zebulon, Dan, Asher, am I missing anybody? Benjamin, we salute you, tribe of Levi, Reuben, we salute you. The 12 tribes of Israel have fallen under, watch this, the curse of operating church or operating the assembly without a Bible. Javon, is the truth. They were meeting every Shabbat with no Torah. How is that even possible? You show up every Shabbat and you are running the services
come on.
With no Torah, no teachings of Yahweh.
All right, come on.
So what ends up happening is you forsake the laws of Yah and the righteousness of Yah, and you then establish your own righteousness. And you will actually start to believe that what you are teaching is on par, on the same level as Yahweh's Torah. Because you simply say, as I've said in videos and in sermons past, Yah knows my heart. So you took the Torah out and you put the Christmas tree in. I wish I had at least two people. You kicked the lamb chops out and brought the dirty swine and them so-called baby back ribs in. Are y'all in here with me? You say, oh no, I don't want no red snapper, none of that clean fish. Don't give me no halibut, no bluegills. All I want, are y'all with me here? Just give me them sea roaches. Just get you a rake and scrape the bottom of the sea and pull up some of them nasty crabs and shrimps and stuff. That's what I want to eat. I want to eat the garbage. And I'm going to ask Yah, once I put all this garbage on my plate, I'm going to ask Yah to bless it. And you say, hey, Rev, you can't bless that. It's an abomination. That's like you blessing a homosexual union. You can't, as the pastor, stand there and say, hey, Yah's blessings upon these two men who want to be married in Yah's name. Oh, we all know that. Well, where you get that from? Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 says, man shall not live with man, lie with man as with woman. Say, well, you do know in that same book of Leviticus, amen, seven chapters earlier, it also said that y'all should not touch swine. It is an abomination. So now you're going to choose one. Are y'all in here? But this is what they'll say. This is my church. That's what they say. That's what we're up against today, Zion. We're up against people who think that the children of Israel belong to them. We were reminded in Bible study today that the priests wore the breastplate that contained 12 precious stones laden in pure gold. And he wore that breastplate on his chest, covering his heart, which is symbolic of the fact that Yahweh, watch this, keeps all 12 tribes as a very precious thing to his heart. How are you going to just steal Yah's people and now act like them your people? No, 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 Hebrew. Let me give you the honest to God truth here. We are his people. And the apple of his eye. But once you, when you don't have a Torah, are y'all with me? Once you decide I'm not reading the Bible no more, or you've decided I'm only going to read what you call the New Testament, I don't think anybody in this city or state, now that I've been preaching this for 5 years, because everybody listens to me. Nobody tells me that they're listening, but I know they're listening. They can't help it. I'm the preacher for today. I know you're going to listen to my sermon. I know that you know by now that there is no new thing in the New Testament. That everything in what you call the New Testament is already written in the Old. The New Testament is the commentary, if you please. Let me say it like this. If you understood Torah, you would understand that there cannot be a New Testament. There cannot be a change of Torah, because Torah forbids change. You cannot add to. Are y'all in this room with me? Or take away? You can't say, well, we couldn't do that in the old, but we can now do this in the new. Who gave you permission? Did Yahweh say, okay, now it's cool? No, if Yah didn't say it, if he didn't change it, it cannot be changed. Wait a minute, unless you don't know what Yah said. See, and that's the issue. Nobody is actually studying the book, so they don't know that the book has said. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this, and it's not part of my sermon, but I'm going to hurry through this because it's not part of my sermon, but I got to put it out. A fellow said to me, he said, man, all you want to do is preach on that Old Testament, which is false, by the way. And he said, but only thing I teach in my church, true story, Romans chapter 10. I said, you're joking, right? Oh, yeah, that's New Testament. I said, what part? What part? You know where it says, who shall descend into the heavens to bring Christ down? Who shall descend into the deep to bring Christ up again? I said, hey, man, you need to stop. Because right now you're really, really showing me that you've never read Torah. The fact that you even chose Romans chapter 10 tells me you've never read Deuteronomy. Because Romans chapter 10 is almost a word for word repeat of Deuteronomy. By the way, did you read the part where it said, who has believed our report? For Isaiah has said.
Yes.
Where do you think Isaiah is? In the New Testament? The gospel message cannot alter from Torah, or it must be rejected. The Messiah can't even change Torah. That's why the first thing he said when he stood up to preach was, don't think for one moment I came here to destroy the law or the prophet. No, don't get that in your head. But when you don't have Torah and you don't have, watch this, Yah's righteousness, because Yah's righteousness is Torah, then Romans chapter 10 says, you will go about to do what? Establish your own righteousness. Therefore, I can make what I want right, right. If I say that Easter bunnies are all right, guess what? They're right. Why? Because I said it. Oh, so what you just did was, you rejected the righteousness of Yah and established your own righteousness. If I say that there's nothing wrong with the Christmas tree and I will have a tree and I say it's right, what you've just done is you've established your own righteousness. If I say we can eat as much swine and pig and guts and gore as we want, then you've established, in other words, you've rejected the righteousness as revealed in Torah and established your own righteousness, which is actually unrighteousness. Now watch this. Let me get back to my text. I'm going to show you this and then I'm out. I promise you. Because I'm going through this book and I'm 15 minutes in. And I want you to see that Jeremiah watched a preacher, really a king. He watched a king cause revival in the kingdom. He saw a revival. He witnessed it. His daddy and his cousin led a revival in the entire nation of Israel. Josiah the king and Hilkiah the priest, which were cousins. Watch this. Jeremiah was young though, but he saw it. And he saw how the king, watch this, didn't care what the people thought. He cared what was in that book. So the people said, but we love this. He said, tear it down. We love that Christmas tree. Take it out of here. But what about all those chocolate eggs and bunnies? Get rid of them. No way. What about the fake grass? I mean, come on. Throw it in the garbage. So what are we going to do with these pork chops? Throw them away. What about this gumbo? Pour it down the toilet.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I know you're not going to take out the brazen serpent that Moses had. Said, no, no, break it too. Because some of y'all done bent your knee to the brazen serpent, and now you worshiping that. Tear it up, throw it in the water too. I want you to know he did this. He tore down temples and high places and worship places. Jeremiah, he saw the revival. And Yah then, watch this, reestablished worship. Read it. The Passover was the greatest Passover that Israel had ever experienced since the first institution of the Passover. Because the preacher wasn't scared to get rid of idolatry. But in this passage, Jeremiah says, I see something really strange. Yah's people are committing two evils. Let me get to this because if I don't get to it right now, I won't make it. Verse 1. Moreover, the word of Yah came. The word of Yahuwah came to me. This is Jeremiah talking. Saying, go cry in the ears of who? It's in the Bible. Y'all got to follow me now in verse 2. Go cry in the ears of who? He didn't say whisper. He said holla. Amen. Even right now, folks want me to stop hollering. Man, would you stop hollering? We can hear you. No, no. He said, go cry. And the cry means lift up your voice. And who am I going to cry in the ears of? Jerusalem. What am I going to say? Say to them, say this. Say, as Yahweh, I remember you. I remember the kindness of your youth. I remember the love of your spousal. I remember when you and I got married. Yahweh is helping the children of Israel have a flashback. And he's making them flashback all the way to the wilderness in a feast called Shavuot. Now watch this. He says, in that day, y'all were so kind and you loved me and you went after me. That means you followed me into a wilderness. That means you trusted me. Into a wilderness that was not sown. In other words, you didn't. I led you in a wilderness, and you loved me so much, you went. You didn't know where your next meal was coming from. You didn't know where water was coming from. You didn't know where protection was coming from. But because you loved me, because I delivered you from Egypt, you loved me enough to follow me. I remember those days when I made a proposal to you, and you as a people said to me, whatever I said, you would do. He said, I haven't forgot it. He said, matter of fact, in verse 3, Israel was holiness unto Yahweh. And the first fruit of all his increase. Woo. Matter of fact, it was set up in verse 3 that anybody that came against Israel, watch this, the evil of Yah would come upon them. Now that's just normal, ain't it? If I'm married and my wife is following me and somebody tries to attack my wife, it's going to be all bad. Somebody ought to say all bad. But that's the way he had it set up. He said, it's my wife and she's followed me and she's trusted me and she's obeying my word and my commands and my teachings and my direction and my precepts. And she's trusted me for food because she's in the wilderness. And I'm giving her bread and I'm giving her water and I'm giving her quail.
Yes.
And if you touch her, I promise you, I'm going to kill you. And if you study the record, no one could stand against Israel in those happy days. Verse 4, hear ye the word of Yah, O house of Jacob, and all the families of Israel. Thus say Yahuwah, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? Can I say it like I want to say it, y'all? Please tell me what I did wrong. That's Yah talking. What did I do wrong? What did I do that made your father say, I don't want to follow him no more? And then they turned around and told you, don't follow Yah no more. Yah is asking a question. Whenever Yah asks a question, you ought to pay attention. He says, you got to tell me, what did I do? Because we had such a great relationship. Now they're gone from me and have walked after the vanity, their vanity or vanity, and become vain. And verse 6, neither said they, where is Yahweh that brought us up out of the land of Egypt and led us through the wilderness, through a land of desert and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passes through and where no man dwells. In other words, nobody's even looking for him. Like, nobody's saying, hey, you know what? Let's go back and find the Yah that led us safely through the wilderness. Verse 7. And I brought you into a plentiful country. This is Yah. To eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land. Now I need you to underline that word, my. Because he declares the land is my land. See, when we defile, we keep saying the land, but it's his land. You know, the earth is Yah's and the fullness thereof. But there is a special place that he chose for his children to dwell. It was the land of Canaan. And it was his land. And so he had them to go into his land so that they could worship him in spirit and in truth. But when they got into his land, they made his heritage. Now watch this. That's his children. An abomination. Wait a minute. I brought you into the land. And when y'all got here, instead of being my wife, the leaders turned y'all into an abomination to me. You played the harlot. I can understand that. You were a slave. I got you out of slavery. I married you. I proposed. You accepted. I kept my end of the deal. I fed you when you were hungry, clothed you when you were naked, provided shelter in a time of storm, gave you water out of a rock, fought all your battles. I've been everything to you. I showed you my everlasting love. It wasn't just talk. It was actually in deed, in action. And I don't understand why now that you're at the house with me, why now you want to cheat on me? I don't understand. What did I do wrong? Some husband said, look at the wife. No, don't do that. Somebody didn't say, what did I do wrong, baby? Sweetheart, what did I do? What did I lie to you? Did I cheat? What did I do? I don't know why you did me like this. Verse 8. The priests, the preachers, the leadership, the ones that were responsible for keeping you in tune with me, never once questioned, where is Yah? They never once questioned, are we operating and functioning according to our Most High Yah? No. And they And they that handled the law, those who were supposed to be handling the manuscript, didn't even know me. Verse 8, the pastors, oh my goodness gracious, also transgressed against me. Wait, no, not the preacher. Not the pastor. Jeremiah says, even the pastors, the priests, the lawyers, and the pastors, they're all in this thing together. They went against me. Wait a minute. And the prophets, what did they do? Oh, they preached whatever Baal said. Whatever Baal said. You mean to tell me that the preacher prophets started preaching what Baal said? What? This is what I'm going to get to. I might have to shut it down. What chance did they have, the people? If your daddy's telling you that the Torah is outdated and we don't need it, you go to church and the pastor's telling you that the Torah is outdated and Yah is old-fashioned, we don't need him. And then you got the preachers and the prophets telling you, oh, no, no, what we really need to do is get down with this Baal and Ashtaroth, which ain't nothing but Christmas and Easter, y'all. Baal represents the whole Christmas season, and Astarte is Easter. It's the same two gods. They're still here saying that they're cool now. We don't have to preach against that stuff. And that you can eat whatever you want, live whatever you want. Live whatever. What chance do the people have of getting back to Torah? If all of the leadership, it's right here. This is the theme. This is what Jeremiah is preaching for. This is why he's preaching. He's saying because the people don't have a chance. And they're walking after things, verse 8, that do not profit. In other words, they are interested in stuff that don't make a difference whatsoever. Who got the biggest church? And who got the most money? And who got the biggest members? And whose shoes is the most shiny? And whose cufflinks are sparkling? And whose tie is tied right or wrong? And who's driving what? And who's flying where? All that stuff means nothing to the kingdom. And watch this. They won't teach you things that will help you. That word profit. See, it will help you to follow Torah, amen, to come out of Babylon, yes, to walk according to the principles and precepts laid down in the Word. They're not going to do that because it'll mess with their money. So what they do is they pick the frivolous things, yes, that don't mean nothing and try to make that mean everything. Right. In other words, they actually take the stuff that ain't worth nothing and make it worth something. And then that which is really worth something, they're making that worth nothing. Don't believe me. It's right here in chapter 2, verse 8 of Jeremiah. Verse 9. Wherefore will I yet plead with you, say Yah. In other words, why would I keep kind of contend with you? And with your, now, Javon, this is in the Bible. Children's children. He says, what has started with this generational's fathers is going to affect their children's children. It's in the Bible. He says, and I already see something. I'm going to have to do this in every single generation. I can already see it. It's a trend. It's a cycle. I bless you. I restore you. You get beside yourself. Everybody wants to get on the payroll. Everybody starts to please the people. The people go into idolatry. And then the people get lost. They get in trouble. Uh-huh. Then you get a bunch of false prophets so that they can prosper on the people. Are you with me? Uh-huh. And the cycle continues even to this very day, Zion. We have placed everything back into the temple that Josiah had kicked out. He kicked out Baal, we brought Baal back. He kicked out Ashtaroth, we brought Ashtaroth back. He kicked out Dagon, that's that fish god. And here y'all got Bible with little fish symbols on it. And little fish symbols on the back of your car. He kicked that stuff out. And then these Hebrews bringing it right back in. He kicked out the trees. Don't cut down no tree and bring it in. And first thing we do, come December, cut down a tree and bring it in. I can go on and on, but what I'm saying is, Yah says, it's who you are. It's what you do. He said, now I got a question. I'm 30 minutes. I wanted to make this a 30-minute sermon. I'm 30 minutes in, but I got to get to at least my title, and then I'll be through. Watch this. In verse 10, he says, go to the Isles of Shittim. In other words, right off the coast of the Mediterranean, there's an island chain, and they're out in the middle of kind of like nowhere. And he says, I want you to go over there, and I want you then to leave there and go look in Kedar, which was not too far from there. It was like around the coastal area. And I want you to go over there and see if you see anything going over there that you see in Israel. I mean, actually go way out to the islands or go way over to the coast. I want you to really look and see if you can see anything like what I'm getting ready to tell you. Verse 11. At any time in history, has there ever been a nation that changed gods? That's Yah talking. He said, I don't care where you go. Go away in the islands, go up to the coast, go on the mountains, it don't matter. Nations don't change gods. Where do you see that? Whatever God a nation has, they still have it to this very day. Nations don't change gods. Talking about in India, they still got Buddha. That's their God. They cool, man. I'm like, man, what do you mean new God? I got Buddha. Are y'all with me here? Oriental cultures, some African cultures. Up north, you do know, in the Goyim, they still got Thor, Hercules, and Zeus. Every year they celebrate them. They still got Easter and Christmas and Black Pete and Santa Claus. I mean, people don't change gods. He said, it's a weird thing. Every culture, whatever God represents that culture, stays that culture's God forever, except y'all. You guys are strange. So I married you, but you're weird. You're my wife and all. But it's hard for me to understand that y'all had me. These other nations had gods. Watch this. Verse 11. Which are not even gods. Do you see it? I am not making this up. I'm reading the manuscript as best I can to help Zion see it. They said, hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no god? But my people, there he goes with it. My people, right there, my people, it's in the Bible, my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Y'all left me for an Easter bunny. Y'all left me for Santa Claus. And don't become talking about, no, we got you and Santa. We got you and Easter Bunny. No, no, y'all don't play that. Just like you don't play that, Zion. If your woman come telling you, yeah, I'm with you, baby, but I'm still with my ex, too. She is me, you, and him. We in this thing together. Amen. You'd be like, no, baby, I don't know if you actually read the fine print, but the bold print said, y'all with me in here? The bold print said, keeping thyself only unto him. So long as you both shall live. Baby, that's the bold print, baby. So now this whole sharing thing, that's not our culture. Amen. We ain't no swinging culture. We start swinging trying to be like other cultures. Y'all don't know what swinging is? I ain't talking about no swing set. Y'all know better than to try to have two husbands, but you act like you don't know better than to try to have two gods. And what's worse, be astonished, O heaven. He starts talking to the heaven. He said, be astonished, O heaven, at this, and be horribly afraid and be very desolate, says Yah. For my people, I got to it. I'm so happy I did. For my people, he said, I can't understand it. My people. Heavens, heavens. I can't talk to them, they're not listening. Heaven, heaven. Would you look at this? Heavens. Who am I talking about? Stars, are y'all up there? You see it? Moon, sun, heavens. Look at my people and be shocked, because I'm shocked. How are they committing two evils? Or what are their two evils? Here it is. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. I'm the fountain. The word there is fountainhead. I'm the source of water that flows. It's alive. It's flowing water. I'm the head spring. I'm the force. Now, that, just the fact that you did that, that's heck of evil. You commit the evil, you're going to forsake me, and I'm the source of life. I am that I am. The fact that you left me, that's enough. That's enough evil that would damn you to everlasting punishment. Just the fact that you left me after I delivered you from bondage, took care of you through the wilderness, brought you to the promised land, and then you left me for a husband that ain't no husband. He's a crook, a thief, and a liar, a swindler, and a bum, a murderer of children, a devourer of the weak. You left me. That would have been enough. But the second thing you did, instead of just enjoying the free water that flowed from me, you went to work with a shovel and a pick to dig your own well. Amen. So that you could put water in it. Because once you leave me, you don't ain't no water, right? I'm the source of water. Since you didn't have no water, you left me and realized you didn't have no water. And instead of coming back to me for water, are y'all in this room with me? Am I by myself? You dug a hole and said, whatever falls in this hole, I'm going to drink it. That's too evil. You left me perfect. Headstream of living water, dug a hole and said, whatever falls in this hole, I'm going to drink it. And realizing not only is it defiled water, but your cistern is broken. It can't even hold water. You put the water in and it seeps right out the crack. It's a double whammy evil. And when we continue to go through the book of Jeremiah, I'm going to show it to you in such crystal clear ways. Zion, it might cause a revival in the United States of America just going through this one book. I'm trying to tell you. But watch this. He said, it can hold no water. Wait a minute. What do you mean? My word is the water. Haven't I taught y'all that? That water is his word. And his word is represented by water. He says, what y'all dug can hold water. What your life now that you now lead as a people, you cannot hold my word anymore. Every time my word comes forth, you kick it out, you spit it out, or you let it leak out. My word cannot abide in you at all. You will forget this sermon 10 minutes after you walk out this room because you got your own cistern. I'm going to close this thing down now. Did you hear Yahushua tell the woman? Said, you're drinking of this well right here, you're going to thirst again. But I got some water for you. I'll put it on the inside of you to bubble up every single day. She thought he was talking something physical. He said, I'm talking about me, huh? I'm living water. Well, who are you? I'm the Word made flesh. You've forsaken the Word. And you've tried to dig a hole, but now only thing you're catching is a bunch of junk. And the real water that wants to fill your life, you can't hold it. And as a result, you are now a slave. That's my end of my sermon. We'll pick it up here next week. Verse 14, he says, heavens, I don't understand this. Heavens, I need you to testify. This is a strange thing. Is Israel a slave by birth? I don't understand. He's talking about his wife now. He's like, I don't understand this. I did not make Israel a nation to simply be a slave. I didn't perform all my mighty works and all the provisions and all of my laws and preachers and prophets and all that for her to be a slave. I don't understand this. How does she become a slave? I mean, is she just a homeborn slave? I mean, I just don't get it. Everywhere she goes, she takes on the God of that particular people. If you take her to China or to India, she'll come out talking about, you heard the girl talking about what love got to do with it, talking about she Buddhist. What is wrong with you? You change gods? Are you serious? If you take Israel to the Middle East, what they call the Middle East, I don't know if I can call that, then you have them come back talking about, I'm Islam. You was only over there 2 weeks. I know, but I'm Islam now. Come on. Are y'all in this room with me? Take them to Rome. Give them a tour of the Vatican. Then come back talking about, I'm Catholic. Doing a little symbol and crosses. I saw a Hebrew score a touchdown and gave himself the Catholic cross. I said, man, what is wrong with him? And don't anybody we get around, we will take on their gods. I'm telling you, because we, watch this, we have forsaken the fountain of water. We dug out a hole and we catch whatever falls in. Well, that's a cold woman, huh? You can't take nowhere. Take her to the club, she leaving with one of them club Negroes. You take her to the bank, she leaving with one of the tellers. You take her to the fast food, she gonna leave with the checkout. Man, why? What is with you? What makes you do that? It's strange. And Jeremiah's gonna answer that later in this book. What I want you to know is the salvation that comes to Jerusalem comes through the Messiah, Yahushua HaMashiach. So I want to close this sermon. Actually, Jeremiah's going to paint a picture of Israel and Jerusalem and of Israel and Judah so sick that he's going to ask the question, is there any balm in Gilead? I mean, is there even a physician? I mean, is there somebody that can help my people who have been put in such a bad situation? And of course, the answer is yes. The answer to our people is a return to Yahushua, a HaMashiach. But a return to Yahushua is a return to Torah. Can I say that again? A return to Yahushua is a return to Torah, because he is our Torah made flesh. And when he comes back to receive us to himself, he's only going to receive those who have received him as the Word made flesh. The question, are you saved, has to do with, have you received the Word? Don't come asking me if you're going to heaven or hell. I don't know. But according to the scripture, you have to follow the Word of Yah in order to be saved. You've got to obey the Bible. You have to trust the manuscript. You have to put your faith in the Savior. By the time we finish this book, I'm telling you, you'll understand it better. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us this time together. I pray that what has been said will have touched somebody, and that they will be encouraged to not commit these two evils, to never forsake you, and never dig their own well that creates their own righteousness, but that we live according to your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Next week on the Shabbat, we will look at this verse, the end part, and we'll take the rest of the chapter, because I want to talk about, why is he spoiled? That word means taken advantage of by everybody. Why is the Hebrew in this world today taken advantage of by everybody in the world? Y'all have no idea how much money they make off you, and how and what terrible condition we are as a people. But it's all right here in the Bible. We'll talk about that next Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.